Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Backup quarterback gets an opportunity and does well. Things are just different. Now, we're not saying there's a quarterback controversy, but the fact that Mac Jones played as well as he did, maybe, just maybe, we don't have to rush Brock Purdy back. Does that sound insane?
No, I don't think.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That sounds insane at all. I think Mac Jones shocked a lot of people. And I think for a lot of people that were, you know, already maybe invested emotionally into Mac Jones or thought he could be a really good player, well, your convictions were proved for one game at least that, like, yeah, you were probably right on that. I think we have two stories that America loves kind of happening simultaneously. And look, to the degree of how long Mac plays, how well he plays, like, that is to be determined. I know one thing, Joe. I'm watching games last night. America loves two story arcs, whether it's in movies, whether it's in our politicians, whether, I know that's a hot button topic right now, or whether it's our athletes. We love a rags to riches story. Scarface. I mean, this guy coming from another country, working his way on up to the top of the pyramid, is the greatest of all time, only to get blown out at the end.
The world is yours.
You know, boxing as a sport has always had a rags to riches feel to it. You know, my great-great-grandfather was an Irish immigrant. He used to box people for money. That's how he made a living. And we know that the sport has always been, I would say, of the poor to make it to be rich. Roberto Duran, who I just got an opportunity to meet a week ago, you know, is one of the great rags to riches stories, who overcame just unbelievable levels of poverty. Kurt Warner, bagging groceries. Brock Purdy, seventh round pick. You could look all across sports and Hollywood and just culture in general. We see tons and tons of rags to riches story. Purdy's one of them. The other story arc that America absolutely loves is the redemption story arc. You were someone at the top for whatever reason. Maybe you were too arrogant. Maybe for whatever reason, some sort of substance abuse or addiction or some force kind of knocked you off course.
Injury.
Yep. Injury, absolutely. And you are forced to eat humble pie in the face of America as we laugh at you, and then you crawl your way back. And as I watched Baker Mayfield last night, and I see him winning a game-winning drive, and I'm rewatching this morning the entire little drive there, America loves Baker this morning. Think about where we were when the Cleveland Browns got rid of him, and he went to the Carolina Panthers, and he's on the practice squad running as a D-tackle in practice, and that image of him lining up as a D lineman. He goes to the Rams for 5 seconds through one pass. Why are you scoffing?
Because I remember Baker Mayfield Thursday Night Football against the Raiders. They had no business winning that game, and he comes in literally off the scrap heap and wins. It's incredible. Man. It's incredible.
Joe, Baker Mayfield is now hit the redemption arc, and what does America think of Baker Mayfield?
I love
morning?
Him. Did you watch him yesterday, that game-winning drive? He is what you want in a quarterback. Getting into the opposition's face, has the swagger, the intangibles, gritty. Yes. He's fun.
Couple of the greatest movies of all time, Good Will Hunting. It's about a redemption arc of a young man who's extremely troubled, you know? Like, it just, the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
The redemption arc of going from rags to riches and overcoming homelessness.
Rocky.
Rocky. Right. I mean, think of some of the people in music and in sports who have fallen on their face. Johnny Cash, Robert Downey Jr., Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Only to fix their life in some form or fashion and then make it to the height of heights. I mean, I could think of guys like Josh Hamilton, Sean Livingston. You bring up an injury, and I think of Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston was a top 10 pick, had his knee blown up. He is one of our favorite players. You bring up the name Sean Livingston to a Bay Area sports fan, what do they think? They just smile. It's a great redemption story. Michael Vick. Yeah. Steve Young was a redemption story.
Yeah.
Steve Young, top pick, USFL, goes to the Browns after the USFL folds and just falls flat on his face. He's one of my favorite athletes of all time because of the journey and the crucible that he went through. No, I don't think he's better than Joe Montana. So I get to Mac Jones and I say to myself, this is a guy that fell flat on his face. Mac Jones was perceived as arrogant. He hit, the greatest coach of all time. Of course he's going to be good. And then basically makes the playoffs in year one, and everything falls around him. And I think that he was a victim of circumstance, probably hubris, because I do believe he was, you know, on some level, rubbed a lot of people in New England the wrong way. You talk to Jermaine Wiggins, feels like they're really angry at him.
They do not like him. Jermaine Wiggins. Whoever was it? Baloo, that guy's last name who covers the Jaguars, our sister station down there. He was not a fan of Mac Jones. I don't get it. It seemed like maybe they were just toeing the water and carrying it for the organization and wanted to blame the quarterback. And I even called Jermaine out on this a little bit. I was just like, you guys were a dumpster fire and put him in no position to succeed after you got rid of Josh McDaniels, or Josh McDaniels got rid of you, quite frankly, moved on to the Raiders. You're bringing Matt Patricia to be his OC. You don't draft anyone well. When's the last time the Patriots actually drafted a good wide receiver there? Seriously. They drafted Gronk. That's about it.
I mean, that was like 2011.
Exactly. They got Edelman, and Wes Welker wasn't there initially with the Patriots, right? Didn't he come from the Dolphins? Right. I don't know.
Might have even been like 2010.
Exactly.
Like, it was a long, long time ago.
That's what I'm saying. So they didn't put him in a position to succeed.
No, but yeah. He fell flat on his face, and then he ends up having to be the backup to the number one overall pick. And then that guy gets hurt and he gets an opportunity. Jacksonville this morning is like, where is Mac Jones? It's crazy. It's crazy.
Not only Jacksonville, a bunch of teams need a backup right now because quarterbacks, I don't know if you saw that injury report yesterday, Joey. They're going down.
Oh, they're going down like crazy. But it is funny how the Niners currently, right now, have two of the basically America's favorite storylines going on simultaneously. You have the Brock Purdy rags to riches story, and he's your franchise quarterback. But also you've got this smaller redemption song story, as I go Bob Marley on you, guru. And I love the redemption arc. I think it's one of my favorite arcs in life and in sports. I can relate to it. I think we all, on some level, can relate to it, where you've done something or you were flawed in some way and you made changes, things started to fall into place, and then opportunity knocked and you stuck your foot in the door, and now we view you different. And so I don't know where this Mac Jones thing's going. Joe, it might just be that one game. Brock Purdy might come back this week. He might just come back this week. But I gotta say, for somebody that I didn't have a whole lot of an affinity for, I'm loving this Mac Jones story. It's just a great story.
888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. And by the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And it's a good point because the Bay Area in particular, we have some of the greatest comeback stories of all time. Mm. I mean, a guy that, you know, won a Heisman Trophy here, a guy that was a draft pick in the first round to the New England Patriots, a guy that was Rookie of the Year, that got, you know, benched and battered and bruised, kind of like Mac Jones, not to the extent, because Jim Plunkett obviously did more in college, but that's the guy I'm mentioning, Jim Plunkett, who ended up being a backup and playing for the San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. who ended up being a backup for the Raiders, got his opportunity and ran away with it and won a couple Super Bowls after getting benched again after winning a first Super Bowl, Joe. That is probably the ultimate comeback. You mentioned Steve Young. We didn't bring up Alex Smith, who everyone wrote off.
Great redemption arc.
I mean, hell, the fact that he came back, not only from that, but Joe, the guy almost died. The guy's leg, no, seriously, the guy almost had to get his leg amputated. And it got septic. It got bad in Washington. And for him to be able to come back after getting parts of his leg shaven off and finishing on his own terms, like, yes, we absolutely love a comeback story. And yeah, this story could end after 1 week.
It could be.
It could. But you know what? I'm going to be rooting for him every day. Like, And that's what I want to get at, too. And I think that's where you're getting on. We should be getting behind Mac Jones.
We should be getting behind all of them. Yes. If you're a Niner fan, who cares who's under center? Like, just make it work. If the Tinkerbell, you know, pixie dust starts to evaporate, and for whatever reason it's a one game only, well, you won the one game that you probably weren't going to win with a lesser backup quarterback. And so I think this is a beautiful little thing that's going on right now for the Niners. You know, Dave Dravecki is a guy that is beloved for his redemption arc. And to this day, you bring up the name Dave Dravecki. Mm. And because of the real life situation of cancer and everything like that and losing his arm, you know, people get choked up. I think the redemption story, you know, Barry Zito is a great example that I'm seeing here in the YouTube chat. Barry Zito fell flat on his face. Hubris. I think anger, I think looking from within, he even admitted, like, he took shortcomings and he didn't work as hard as he had prior to getting the money. And he fell flat on his face. And he was rooting against the Giants in 2010. When you bring up the name Barry Zito, people don't immediately think of one of the biggest busts in free agent history. They go, wow, 2012, huh? Well, those handful of games, he won that World Series game against Verlander. Like, there's two stories America loves, and I'll go to my deathbed with this. We love a rags-to-riches story, Dwight Clark on line one, and we love the redemption arc. We love it.
What is the best comeback story in Bay Area sports history, I wonder? I'm sure we'll get a lot, and I want to hear from the people today. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. The Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text lines. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Ratchley Brewed in San Francisco, because we've literally mentioned like 10, 15, like the Bay Area. I'm telling you, we're the comeback sports town. We love a comeback story.
We really do.
We're suckers for it.
I mean,
we are.
I think of like the way we view Navarro Bowman.
Yes.
It wasn't because he was great when he came back. It was the fact that he fought to come back at all.
Clay Thompson. Oh, I mean, God, are you kidding me? Two really devastating injuries. And yes, has he been the same Clay since those? No. But you know what? Those types of injuries change you. But obviously physically, but mentally too. Those are...
No doubt.
I don't wish that on anyone. I mean, the thing that he loved the most, he couldn't do for a long time. And he had to sit there and act like everything's okay and try to be the same old Clay, because everyone wants him to be the same old Clay, but people change.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was... He had to wrestle through that and... You know, everyone's like, oh, why is Clay so surly? Why is he so angry? His final year with the Warriors, obviously. Why he's such a Debbie Downer? I was like, well, the guy's clearly not the same player, and it's very difficult for him to wrap his mind around. And the fact that he was able to come back from not only the ACL, but an Achilles injury too, and contribute to a championship-winning team, I mean, how could you not love it? I'll always root for Clay because of that too, and for what he means for the Warriors, Splash Brother.
Well, and going back to like a kind of underdog, rag-to-riches story, in the NBA, if you just look at like the top 10 greatest players of all time, almost all of them, outside of like Kobe and Steph Curry, have been drafted 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
Very few of them are coming outside of 1, 2, or 3. It's just, it's so rare. If you just go look, like Kareem, like Jordan, Shaq.
The person that, I didn't mean to cut you off, you're on fire. Like, Jokic might have the only opportunity where it's out of nowhere. Like, no one. He was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
It's
all right?
And that is absurd.
Not the Quesarito.
Right? It's absolutely absurd. But like part of what makes Steph Curry's entire rise to prominence so unique is like being drafted, whatever, 7th overall. In the NBA, that is like being drafted in the 4th or 5th round. Because like, just the way that the sport works.
Yep.
It's very different than the other sports. And so, we love those two story arcs, the rags to riches story, and we love the redemption arc. It's one of the ones, like, I think of Ricky Williams, for example. Like, Ricky Williams, I love Ricky Williams. Dude, I will always root for Ricky Williams.
The black visor's so sick. Only because of Ricky, the visor, I've always been in
completely
on.
Misunderstood.
Yes.
Completely ahead of his time. I mean, it's honestly ridiculous that we suspended this guy for years on end for smoking weed instead of injecting painkillers and going down that rabbit hole. I mean, it's absolutely absurd, quite frankly.
It's a great point. And if he played in today's, like, I often think about, you know, players that could have thrived in today's world. And it's unfortunate they had to play in a certain time. And Ricky Williams is absolutely one of them. I think we like to go like from a sports angle, but from like a human level, Ricky in today's society, we would have had a lot more empathy and sympathy for a guy like that. But and I'm glad you mentioned all the different drugs, and they're still doing it, and it's ridiculous. And the fact that, and I don't want to go on a tangent here, but the fact that you know marijuana is still considered in some states just like a whatever class, whatever 1, 2, 3 drug. It's ridiculous, quite frankly. And 888-957-9570. Why are we talking about comeback stories? Well, we might be witnessing one with Mac Jones. And listen, we're not overreacting here. It's one game against the New Orleans Saints on the road. It was, hey, listen, 3 touchdowns. All right. He threw the ball a bunch. He had one mistake, but it might blossom into something.
Or it might end on Sunday.
And it might end.
And Brock Purdy might just come back.
He might.
And he never looks back, right? Who knows where it's going? But for one day, can we just sink into it and enjoy the redemption story for Mac Jones? I think he's earned it. And if clearly his teammates are responding to him, did you guys see the tunnel when they showed the boombox? Did you see who came out at the front of the tunnel in the boombox?
Who came out?
It was Trent Williams. It was D'Amore Lenore, and it was Mac Jones. Like, his teammates love him. And look, maybe they think he's just the backup and that's all that he thinks he is. But good for him, dude. Like, honestly, good for him. And this is a guy I wrote off. This is a guy I didn't want the Niners to trade 3 picks to go get him. I was wrong. Like, this guy can play. This guy can play in Shanahan's system. And for 1 week, he had a magical redemption.
I mean, why not Mac Jones? We're seeing Daniel Jones do it, who everyone wrote off.
Great call.
I thought he was cooked. I thought it was over.
Totally.
He's looked incredible. Again, first 2 weeks. Hell, Sam Darnold. We all wrote Sam Darnold off. We were laughing at the 49ers playing in Minnesota last year, Joe.
I know.
We were all laughing. And then what happened? He won the game, and he had an incredible season, and he finished, what, 8th in the MVP voting last year? He was incredible. He had a big win last week, too, against the Steelers. Geno Smith, a guy that everyone's...
Great call on Geno.
Everyone's laughing at him this morning because he didn't look very good. Divisional game.
No,
that's fine.
Salvaged his career. He's 35 years old, and he's stuck around a hell of a lot longer than a lot less stronger-willed individuals would.
Again, you mentioned Steve Young here. The quarterback's alone here. Joe Montana, who was written off in San Francisco, goes to Kansas City, has success. Rich Gannon, who... No, everyone, he was a backup forever. Journeyman. Wins an MVP. Like, we love these things. I think of a guy... Again, we're going Oakland Raiders here. Darren Waller, a guy that was
good call on Waller.
Written off. He had a drug problem that he has been very open with, a mental health problem that he's been struggled with his whole life leading up to that. Gets clean, becomes an all-pro.
Well, I think I'm a little older than some of you guys. You guys probably don't even know this, but like Don Nelson saving Chris Mullen's life is things that like sticks in my head. You know, Chris Mullen had his own alcohol addictions that he's talked about for a long, long time. And not only did it save his career, it saved his life. I mean, how special is that? You know, my dad was a big recovery guy. He was in NA and AA, and it really changed his life. Like, it truly did. And he lived like 7 or 8 different versions of his life. And the one that I was most proud of was the one that he became after he got sober. And that redemption arc for him was something that he embraced and he lived through. And all of the friends and all of the people that he touched and that those that touched him, that helped him, like, that saved his life. For me and for us. And so, like, the redemption story to me is something I think every single one of us that's listening right now can relate to. Why not rally around this guy? Even if it ends Sunday, who cares? Let's go, Mac Jones.
888-957-9570. Talking comeback stories in Bay Area sports history. What's your favorite? And what's a comeback you would like to see next? Hey, I know a lot of people, a lot of Niner fans are still, like, rooting for Trey Lance and seeing him get an opportunity potentially. Maybe he does get another opportunity. Are Niner fans rooting to see Jimmy Garoppolo have another comeback type of story? Hell, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, was written off. What does he do? Goes to the Bucs, wins the Super Bowl. Like, these things happen
with
throughout
Bruce
sports.
Arians, who was written off because he was too old to coach.
And Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, who's written off as a head coach. It was a great redemption story, and we see it every single year. Let's talk about it. 888-957.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.